I wanted to discuss something that relates, of course, to our preparations for Pesach, but is really something that is also applicable the entire year long, and that is whether or not one can make Kiddush, and we'll discuss on Pesach as well, using for the Dawud Kosis, the grape juice. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Basra, over here at Tzadizan Amar Aleph, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav, Ein Oimim Kiddush Hayoim El Al Yayin Harol Yinasech Hagabem Mizbeach. The only wine that could be used for a Kiddush is wine that would also be fit to be brought on top of the Mizbeach in conjunction with the Karbonos. I would presume that that's similar to other similar halachas that we find, that we compare our table to a Mizbeach, because to put us in the proper mindset that we're eating not in order to satisfy our physical desires and needs, but rather in order to enable us to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam better in the future. So for example, we find that we always are supposed to have salt on the table, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, because just like the Mizbeach, whenever they would bring a carbon, there was always salt, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Vayikra, Kol Karbon Chatakrib Melach. So that's why we always put salt on our table to remind us that our table is a vehicle that is supposed to enable us to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam better through eating. And in last week's parasha as well, the Pasuk says, V'hiskadoshem v'hiyisam kedoshim, that you should make yourself holy and you'll become holy, from which the Gemara Maseches Brachos derives, V'hiskadoshem elumayim rishonim, we wash netilas adayim before eating bread, v'hiyisam kedoshim elumayim achronim, we wash hands also before benching. So the Ksav HaKabbal, who is one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, asks, why is mayim rishonim referred to as v'hiskadoshem, you should be kadosh? So he says, it's because perhaps the whole reason we wash Mayim Rishonim, or one of the reasons we wash Mayim Rishonim, Tilas Yadayim, before eating bread, is because just like the Kohen, before he entered into the Beis HaMikdash to perform the Avodah, would wash his hands in the Kiyor, would do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, so too, before we eat, we wash our hands, and perhaps one of the reasons is to remind us we're now about to use eating not to satisfy our physical needs, but in order to put us in the proper mindset that, you know, that this should energize us to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam better. Perhaps that's where Mayim Achronim fits in also, besides the other concerns for Mayim Achronim, is to remind us, now you ate, go back to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't now sit and read the newspaper and fall asleep. But Mayim Achronim is to remind us, to actually be kadosh, to use this as kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, we have to go right back to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anyway, so perhaps in that context, we find a similar notion as well, that the wine that we use for Peah for Kiddush Friday night, should be similar to the wine that, or should be the same standard as the wine that could be found on top of the Mizbech in conjunction with the Karbonos, remind us that that's the purpose of why, you know, we're sitting down to eat in the first place. But what is this rule? It's a general rule. What is it coming to address specifically? L'mu'ute mai. What's the concern? Which wine is wine, but it's not fit to be used for Kiddush because it's not fit to be brought on top of the Mizbech? So, ilayim l'mu'ute yayin migitoy. Maybe it's coming to exclude young wine, meaning wine which hasn't had a chance to ferment yet. What we would call, for all intents and purposes, grape juice. But Tani Reb Chiya, Yain Migitoy, Lo Yavi, you're not supposed to use it as Nesachim on top of the Mizbeach in conjunction with the Karbonos, but Vim Hevi Kosher. If you did use it, the carbon is kosher, it's kosher for Nisach Hayai. Ah, so it says, Vekhevim Dim Hevi Kosher, since you can bring it, B'diyevin, on top of the Mizbeach, so Ananafil Chachila Nami, we can use it Chachila for Kiddush. There is a comparison between Kiddush and Nichot and Niskayayin, but since B'diyevit is good for Nesachim, L'chadchila, we can use it for Kiddush. D'amar Rava, Sechid Adam Eshkol Shalon Oven, V'Oimar Lov Kiddush Hayayim, you can squeeze a cluster of grapes before Shabbos, and then as Shabbos comes in, use that cluster of grapes, the wine that you squeezed out, or that grape juice that you squeezed out, for Kiddush, no problem. Sechid Adam Eshkol Shalon Oven, V'Oimar Lov Kiddush Hayayim. If you don't know how to make wine, this won't end well. I have a friend who did this, did not end, you know, what did the... You know, you can't just squeeze a cluster of grapes. It's a little more complicated than that. But if you know what you're doing, you can create, you know, fresh wine or fresh grape juice, and that is fine for Kiddush. So then what then is the Gemara statement? What is that coming to exclude? So the Gemara concludes, L'ma'ute sherecho ra, a wine that has a foul odor. L'ma'ute megula was left uncovered overnight, where there was a concern that a snake could inject it with poison, or whatever, all these concerns. But since it was left exposed overnight, you're not supposed to use it as a for wine on top of the Mizbeach, and similarly for Kiddush wine. Why can't it be brought on top of the Mizbeach? Because hekrevu no lifchasecha yirtzecha oisafanech, the Pasuk can say from Malachi, who complains, the Navi complains, that Kaliso is bringing inferior animals for Karbonos, we shouldn't use inferior wine for as niske yayin, and therefore, by extension, we shouldn't use it for Kiddush either. Okay, look, the Gemara said explicitly, you can use freshly squeezed grapes, the juice that's produced, for Kiddush. Don't you see? You can use grape juice for Kiddush, you know. End of story. So, sort of. Yeah, you do see you can use grape juice for Kiddush, that's true. But our grape juice is somewhat different than their grape juice for a number of reasons. The first is their grape juice was not cooked. Our grape juice is all pasteurized at around 175 degrees, so way above Yatsu. That is probably cooked wine. So it's Yain Mavushal. So even if it is, you know, it's similar to wine, but can you use anything that's cooked? Can you use cooked wine for Kiddush? So that itself is a further discussion. Why should cooked wine be problematic? Because we already started with the first rule that the only wine that can be used for Kiddush is wine that is fit to be brought on Gabi Mizbeach, and Yayin Mavushal is not fit to be brought on top of the Mizbeach because cooking the wine changes the flavor of the wine. 1 minute. If Yayin Mavushal is not good to be brought on top of the Mizbeach, that's why we know that we'll get to soon that one of the reasons why we're not allowed to drink wine that was handled by a non-Jew is out of a fear, the primary reason, is out of a fear that perhaps he used this as part of his avodah zarah practices. It's also because we're not supposed to socialize with the Nachrim. There's a fear of Binoy Sehem. If we'll drink their wine, a wine that was handled by them, we might come to socialize with them, which could lead to intermarriage. But the primary reason, at least the way the halacha is formulated, is because we have to be suspicious that they used it as part of their avodah zarah practices. But they would never use wine that we wouldn't use on top of the Mizbeach. And we would only use wine on top of the Mizbeach if it wasn't cooked. Once it's cooked, that alters the flavor slightly, and therefore would not be used on top of the Mizbeach. So, is such wine valid for Kiddush? So on the one hand, the Gemara here stated a rule. Wine which is not valid on top of the Mizbeach is no good for Kiddush. So the Gemara says, well, what are you talking about? Well, give me an example. So why did the Gemara give the example of Yayin Mavushal? That's wine which is not fit to be brought on top of the Mizbeach, and therefore is no good for Kiddush. The Gemara didn't say that. So from that, Taisus infers, must be, even though Yayin Mavushal is no good, you know, cannot be used for Nisgei Yayin, on top of the Mizbeach, because it alters the flavor slightly, and they would never use it on top of the Mizbeach, and therefore there's no problem if the wine is cooked, and it's handled by a Nachri, they wouldn't use it on top of the Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah either. It still is valid for Kiddush. That's Taisus' inference. Otherwise, the Gemara should have said, what's an example of wine which is no good for the Mizbeach, and therefore it's no good for Kiddush, is Yayin Mavushal. The Gemara doesn't say that. Taisus infers, must be, it is good for Kiddush. Why should it be good for Kiddush? How could it possibly be good for Kiddush if it's no good for on top of the Mizbeach? So Taisus, the Achrenim, explained that it's because Taisus must have understood when the Gemara said that it's coming to exclude wine which has a foul odor, wine that was left uncovered overnight. What the Gemara here is teaching us is that the real problem is with inferior wines. As the Pasuk can say from Malachi and Prize, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that which is superior, not that which is inferior. Yayin Mavushal might not be inferior wine. Yes, it's true the flavor is altered slightly and therefore it can't be used as Nisgei Yayin on top of the Mizbeach, but it's not inferior wine. And therefore it's not excluded by this rule. And that's why the Gemara didn't bring this up as a targeted example of what is no good for Mizbeach, because therefore no good for Kiddush. Because even though Yayin Mavushal is not good for the Mizbeach, because the flavor has been altered slightly, it's not inferior and therefore would be good for Kiddush. That's Taisus' inference, yeah.
Would Rebbe say that there's also an issue for, again, grape juice made by an Achri?
Of course. It has to be cooked. Once it's cooked, then we don't have to worry about the Magen Achri. But if you have grape juice which is not cooked, yeah, be a big problem. Same problem as wine which hasn't been cooked. So, in fact, that's what Taisus inference, and Taisus brings a proof to this from the Yushalmi. Look over here, the second line of Taisus, the end of the second line, last word on the line is Aval, Aval Yesh Lahavi Rayami Yushalmi. The Yayin Gomer, who cooked wine, is still wine for all intents and purposes. Even though it can't be brought on top of the Mizbeach, it is good for Kiddush and good for Dawud Kaisis. The Talmud Yushalmi says explicitly you could use Yayin cooked wine for Dawud Kaisis. Alma Mekadshin, a Yayin Mavushal. One of the Dawud Kaisis, the first is, of course, Kiddush. So therefore, you can use cooked wine for Kiddush, you could use it for Dawud Kaisis, even though it's not good to be brought for Nisgei Yayin. What's excluded by comparison to Nisgei Yayin is only inferior wines. This is not an inferior wine, even though the flavor has been altered slightly, and therefore it's not good for the Mizbeach, it would be valid for Kiddush. That's Taisus' opinion. However, then Taisus goes on to quote from Rashi and the Rash, who disagreed. And they said, you know why the Gemara didn't bring this up? Again, the Gemara started with a rule which we're searching for an example of. Whatever is not good for it to be brought on top of the Mizbech is no good for Kiddush either. What's an example, says the Gemara, we have to look high and low? What about Yayin Mavushal? It's no good for the Mizbech, therefore it should be no good for Kiddush. So Taizah said his thing, it's only excluding inferior wines, this is not inferior. The Rashi and the Rashi say, push it! You know why? Cooked wine is not wine. Guess what the bracha is? It's Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. Says over here, that's why the word didn't give it an example. We're looking for wines which are no good on top of his back, and therefore no good for Kiddush. But it is Bari Priya Goffin. Cooked wine is Bashar, not even Bari Priya Goffin. Says over here, Tosis, the last line, Udaloika Perish Rashi V'arash, Shekas V'diyayin Mavusha Mavarchin Olav Shahakol. You make a shakol niyeh b'dvaro. Dishtani li greyusav ein laharakkan. It became worse by cooking it. But he doesn't want to expand upon this. How did it become shakol niyeh b'dvaro? How do you have wine that became cooked that was all of a sudden now degraded to shakol niyeh b'dvaro? So the explanation is the following. The Gemara says, what Tosis didn't want to elaborate upon, we'll just elaborate for a moment. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos over here, Ois Beis, if you have honey that's extracted from dates, even though the date is Bari Priya Eitz, the honey is Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro, that's extracted from the date. Why? Why isn't date honey Bari Priya Eitz? My time, Zeya Ba'almahu. It's perspiration of the date. Meaning, it's not itself part of the date. It's extracted from the date, a byproduct of the date, but is not from the edible part of the date, and therefore does not attain the status of Bari Priya Eitz. It remains, becomes Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. And writes Tosis there, and I Gemara L'Meches Medal, V'chein Mashkin Mikol Minei Peres. That's why on orange juice, on apple juice, on any type of fruit juice, you make Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro, not Bari Priya Eitz. However, the Rishayim ask a contradiction. The Gemara says in the very next daf in Maseches Brachos, Lamed Tes Med Aleph, the Gemara says, what bracha do you make on vegetable soup? Mei Shlokis. You make Bari Priya Dama. Water that's cooked together with vegetables is Bari Priya Dama. Why? It has the same status as the vegetable. Oy vey. Why is it then that vegetable soup you make Bari Priya Dama, and fruit juice is Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro? What's the difference between vegetable soup and fruit juice? You hear the kasha chaver? They're both liquid that comes, one from the vegetable, one from the fruit. Vegetable soup, which even you added water to, you make Bari Priya Dama. Fruit juice, which is squeezed directly from the fruit, Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. So a number of distinctions that are raised by the Rishonim. One is, Tosis suggests there's a difference here between fruit juices, which are beverages. Beverages might always be shahakol. There might be an overriding principle. You know, beer is not mezainis. It's shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. Tosis discusses at length. Why isn't beer mezainis? Maybe because it's a beverage, as opposed to soup is a food. Maybe that's why it's Bari Priya Dama, and then we'd be left to wonder where borscht would fit into this puzzle. Okay? That's one possibility Tosis has. The Rush says a different distinction. The Rush says, no, I'll tell you what the difference is. Fruits, what requires a bracha, Bari Priya Eitz, Bari Priya Dama, is the flesh of the fruit or the flesh of the vegetable. Fruit juice is not the flesh of the fruit. It's extracted from in between the flesh of the fruit. That's Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. The vegetable soup is used using the flesh of the vegetable itself. That's Bari Priya Dama. That's what the Rush says. The Rashba says a different possibility, and all of these play into the picture halacha l'maisa. The Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah quote the Rush and the Rashba. Tosis plays and fixtures, fits into the picture as well. But the Rashba explains a fundamental difference. He says, no, it's because vegetables are planted and normally consumed both in their raw state as well as in their cooked state. Sometimes raw, sometimes cooked. So therefore, since it's consumed in both states, or it's normally consumed cooked, it retains its bracha Bari Priya Dama. That's a normal form of consumption. Fruits were not planted and not normally consumed in their juice form, only in their raw, fruit form, not in a juice form, in a solid form. And whenever you consume something in an abnormal way, it loses its bracha. For example, a potato is not supposed to be eaten, or not normally eaten, raw. So what bracha do you make on a raw potato? Shahakomi ebedvaro. If it's normally, let's say, carrots also used to be the same thing. Old Jews won't eat raw carrots. That's horse food. It's only eaten simis. You eat it when it's cooked. Fine. But then you might have other things that are only eaten raw. They're typically not eaten cooked. So then it would lose its bracha once it's cooked and it becomes shakoni abedvaro. So that's the rule the Gemara has to be on the Mechesim Abbeis. Kol shetchilos abari pri adama, shol kol shahakoni abedvaro. If it's eaten raw and you cook it, it becomes shahako. Kol shetchilos shahakoni abedvaro. Anything that when it's raw is shahako, shol kol abari pri adama. When you cook it, it becomes abari pri adama. Everything depends on the normal way it's consumed. So says the Rashba, that vegetables were consumed, sometimes raw, sometimes cooked. So their vegetable soup is bari pri adama. Fruits were only consumed in their solid state, not in the juice state, and therefore it would not have the bracha bari pri ha'etz, have the bracha of shakoni abedvaro. We're left to wonder, and the Mishnah Berurah already raises this issue in the Shaar HaTzion, and it's discussed later by the Chazon Ish. What about in our times when we have fruits that are planted and it's normal to consume them both in their solid form as well as in their juice form, like orange juice? I don't think most of the oranges in the world yet are made for use for orange juice, but there are certainly a large percentage, and there might even be types of oranges that are only planted just for the juice, but it might be considered, even if it's not a majority, certainly might be a normal way of consuming oranges, might be in the form of orange juice. So according to the Rashba, the Mishnah Berurah already makes the point. One can envision that there could arguably be the bracha bari pri ha'etz on orange juice. According to the Rush, that you need the flesh of the fruit in order to say bari pri ha'etz, you won't have that by orange juice. And certainly according to Tosfos, that anything that's a beverage, you always make shakon li'ebedvaro, you know, you wouldn't have that with regards to orange juice. But at least according to the Rashba, one could begin to make this argument. So let's just finish. So that's why Rashi and the Rash say that what about, I'm sorry, oh, we have to more to finish. So we'll get to your question first, right. Yeah.
So according to the Rush,
pulpy, yeah, maybe.
Or, I mean, I guess like smoothie would also be like a good example of.
Right. But you still have Tosfos that all beverages. I don't know what a smoothie is. But you don't have the shape of the, yeah, yeah. There the fruit has been, it's more like an applesauce, Shaila.
I guess
you don't have the shape of the fruit either. You're eating the fruit, but you lost the whole, huh?
Applesauce is a food versus.
What is a smoothie?
It's a beverage.
Is it?
Yeah, like. Slip it out of
his
straw or whatever.
Ah, so it's a beverage. It would be shahako because of Tosfos. Yeah. And we have a suffix over here. All of these play in, so you probably suffix brachas lekula anyway. So what about grape juice then? What bracha should we make on wine? So wine, even though fruit juice was typically not drunk, that's what the Rashba told us, grape juice or wine was very common in the times of the Gemara. So therefore, most grapes probably were planted. Oh, grapes were typically consumed, probably, in the context of wine. So therefore, it should have the bracha of what? Bari pri ha'etz. It's a normal way of consuming grapes. But says the Gemara that not only do we make a bari pri ha'etz on grape juice, which was normal, we even make a bari pri ha'gofen. It gets its own new bracha. Why is that? The Gemara explains, Lamed Hei Mebez Masechtas Brachas, that it's because, Maishno Yayin, that we don't, not only do we make, not make shahako, we don't even make a bari pri ha'etz. It gets its own bracha bari pri ha'gofen. So the Gemara says over here on the second line, Ilei mishum dishtani. It's true, it changed, but it got better. Not only did it stay the same with orange juice, it's normal. It got better. It's a new product. It got better. So therefore, it gets a new bracha bari pri ha'gofen. But what about olive oil? Olive oil is also better than olives. Why don't we make bari pri a shemen or something on the why doesn't olive oil get its own bracha? Doesn't get its own bracha. So the Gemara explains, because wine is different, it has two properties that distinguish it from olive oil. It's soy, it's nutritious. Olive oil could also be nutritious, but it is also umis sameach. It brings happiness, of course, because of the alcoholic content. that is contained within wine. So because it has that property as well, it warrants and deserves its own new bracha of Barei Priya Gofen. Because it keeps getting better and better, not worse and worse, not even staying the same. Where we tame Barei Priya, it got better, so you get Barei Priya Gofen. But however, argues Rashi in the Rosh. Now let's get back. That's true by grape juice, by wine, it gets better. What happens when you cook it? Yain Mavusho. It got worse! Ooh. Now, and once it got worse, it didn't only now, you know, okay, let's go back to Barei Priya Eitz. It got worse. Now it's you drop all the way back. Now it's like consuming something in an abnormal way. It's like eating a raw potato or raw carrots for those who don't eat raw carrots, or taking something that's only eaten raw and not eaten cooked and cooking it. So now what becomes the bracha? Shahakol niyabidvar. You're consuming it in an abnormal way. It's ishtani ligriyusa. So now all of a sudden the bracha becomes shahakol niyabidvar. That was the opinion of Rashi and the Rash. The Rosh defends Tosis's position. Look back at Oisalaf in the brackets. The Rosh and Baruch Simin Yud. V'yayin mevusho hayoyim Rabbeinu Tam nimevarach no v'bori priya gofen. V'gam mekad shenolav, we also make Kiddush. Why? V'yav agav damagabi shlokis. Once you cook something, you know, the bracha could change if it gets worse. D'shtanu agriyusa kishabishlum. If you take a vegetable that's normally in raw and you cook it, the bracha drops to shakol niyabidvaroi. So why should this wine, which is cooked, like taking something you normally eat raw, and then you cook it, the bracha drops all the way to shakol niyabidvaro? Here it's different. If I take something which is normally eaten cooked, I take it raw and I cook it, it gets better. Now it gets the Barei Priya Adama once it's cooked. So here the wine as well. Even though the wine is cooked, it got better when you cooked it. It didn't get worse. It's ishtani liluya, not ishtani ligriusa. I don't know. It sounds like machlekes about what does wine taste like after it's cooked. Did it get worse or did it get better? According to Rashi and the Rash, it got worse. According to the Rash, it got better. So therefore, it retains its bracha Barei Priya Gofen without question, according to the Rash, and that's the opinion of Tosis as well. Even though it's not kosher to be brought on top of the Mizbeah, because the flavor does change somewhat, according to the Rosh, and according to Tosis, it got better. And the only things that are excluded because of the connection to wine that was brought on top of the Mizbeah, you know, as the precedent for wine that's good for Kiddush, is only those wines that are excluded because they're inferior. Cooked wine is not inferior. Like, you know, Rebecha Raw, Magula, this is not inferior, this is superior. And therefore, even though it's not good for the Mizbeach, because the flavor was changed, that everyone agrees, the flavor changes, the Shaila is, does it get better, does it get worse? Tosis claims it got better. And therefore, it's good for Kiddush. And that's the opinion of the Rosh. And Rov HaRishonim, not like Rashi. And the Rosh, the Yayin Mavusho, Ishakon Liyabedvaro, that was their opinion. We Paskin Hilchas Brochis, Yayin Mavusho, you make a Barei Priya Gofen. We passed and it got better. Yeah.
Is this like a subjective qualification?
I don't think so.
Because nowadays everybody's wine is mavushal, so like that changes.
No one's. Whose wine is mavushal? Whose wine is mavushal?
Aren't most kosher wines now?
Half and half.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot that are not mavushal. No goyish wine is mavushal.
Yeah.
Right. So better wines are still not mavushal. Most expensive kosher wines are not mavushal. None of them. So we assume, it seems to be voting with our feet that the wine that's better is not mavushal. The Rambam here is a third view. The Rambam's view is, no, wine which is mavushal changed. That we all agree. The Rambam agrees it changed for the worse. Not like Tosis in the Rosh. But it's not that bad that it lost its bracha of Barei Priya Gofen. It changed. That's why it can't be brought on top of the Mizbeach. And that's exactly what the Gemara meant when the Gemara said inferior wines that are not brought on top of the Mizbeach are not good for Kiddush either. The Gemara was addressing when it said, yeah, Yain Magula, Yain Sherei Chayra, it has a bad odor. The Rambam says included in that was Yain Mavushal too. Those are two examples of a larger category. Any wine which is inferior, even though it's still Barei Priya Gofen, you know, that is exactly what the Gemara meant to address. Rashi in the Rosh said the Gemara didn't address it because it's not even Barei Priya Gofen. It's Pasha not wine. Shakomi Abedivaro. Tosis said the Gemara didn't address it because it's not inferior. It's superior. And the only wines that are excluded by this rule, comparison of those which are inferior, this is superior. The Rambam says, no, this is inferior. It's still Barei Priya Gofen. That's exactly what the Gemara meant when the Gemara said inferior wines are excluded. And this Rambam, therefore the Rambam says one should not make Kiddush Friday night. It's inferior wine and it's not roy to be brought on top of the Mizbeach. Look at the Rambam over here. Perichav Tes, Ifilcha Shabbos, Och Yedalei, Mekajna, Oyayin, Aroi, Nenasich, Hagabi, Mizbeach. And therefore the Rambam says, even if you mix sugar in, it's no good. Kachan, Amor, Bechol, Marav, that's what we paskin in his part of the world. V'yesh, Mishamater, though, L'kadosh, Alav, that you're allowed to make Kiddush on wine that was sugar was mixed in, but lo nemar hayana roi nasach gabi mizbech. We only mentioned the comparison. Tiana roi nasach gabi mizbech. Now, with regards to all details, you know, it's only when it's inferior. What's considered to be an inferior wine? Lo hoitzi yain shevecha ro has a foul odor. O megula was left uncovered overnight. O mevushal she'en mekad shino echad mehen, or it was cooked. So look over here. The Shulchan Aruch in Ayin Resh Bei Sif Vav. Second line of here, voice vav, mekachin al yain mavushal, that's Taisus and the Rosh. The Rambam says, yesh oimim she'ein mekachin aleim. Not because we're afraid. The Mishnah Berurah there happens to mention there are those Rishonim who held it with shahako, yain mavushal, so maybe we want to be cheshish for that. But we paskin Hilchas Brachis without two opinions. The Shulchan Aruch says, yain mavushal is very priyagofen. Here, though, with regards to Kiddush, there's an additional concern of the Rambam. Even if it is very priyagofen, it is a little inferior. And that's why it's not brought on top of the Mizbeach. That's why it shouldn't be used for Kiddush either. So says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein Mekachin Aleim. The Ramos says, if you have a minig is to be Mekal, of course, to be Mekadish on wine, even though it is Mavushal. But if you have a wine, which is, if you have the best wine is Eino Mavushal, you know, that's only assuming, says the Ramos, all wines are equal. The Mavushal and the Eino Mavushal all taste the same. If the better wine is Eino Mavushal, so we should attempt to use the better wine when Bichleshish for the opinion of the Rambam he says that the only time you should use Yain Mavushal is when the better wines are Yain Mavushal as well. But if the better wines are Eino Mavushal, we should be Bichleshish for the opinion of the Rambam, and Friday night at least one should make a Kiddush. You know, if you want to be Bichleshish for the opinion of the Rambam, only on wine which is Eino Mavushal, and there were many who were Bichleshish for this, to use Davka Friday night, wine which is not Mavushal, to be chayshesh for the opinion of the Rambam, but also factoring in there is making sure you're using the best wine also. So to use an inferior eino mavushal over a superior mavushal, that the Rambam doesn't think you should do. He says, aminig l'kadosh alav, afil yesho yainachir, rak she'eno tov kamo mavushal. You have to use the best wine. But if the best wine is eino mavushal, so, you know, like eino mavushal, cheap wine, versus mavushal, expensive wine, mavushal would probably take precedence. But assuming the better wine is Eino Mavushal, that's what you should choose, preferably, to be Chayshish for the opinion of the Rambam. There were those who were Chayshish for the opinion of the Rambam. Rav Shlomo Zalman claims, though, that perhaps this was only at a time when people could tell that wine which is Eino Mavushal is inferior. And the flavor changed. Rav Shlomo Zalman comes in at a time. The wines which are Mavushal are pasteurized. It's heated. For an instant, it's heated to 175 and then it's cooled down. He says, you can't taste the difference. He says, most people cannot taste the difference. You give them a blind taste test, Coke, Pepsi, they're not going to be able to tell the difference. Mavushal ain't a Mavushal. So therefore, writes Rav Shlomo Zalman, that maybe nowadays we don't even, there isn't a hidur even according to the, you know, Rambam, to use wine which is ain't a Mavushal, because either way we can't tell the difference between Mavushal and ain't a Mavushal. The whole reason to exclude ain't a Mavushal is because the flavor gets altered. Not enough to make a shako, but enough that it's inferior, shouldn't be used for kiddush, but now we can't tell the difference. So much so, listen closely, Rav Shlomo Zalman goes to an extreme and claims even the chumrah we should apply this svar. Meaning that our wine, even if it's cooked, probably would have been good al gabi ha-mizbeach, and therefore, even if it's cooked and a nachri handles it, it's no good. It's stam yenam. Because if we would use it on our mizbeach, because we can't tell the difference, they would use it on their mizbeach, they can't tell the difference. And now we're back to the old problem of maga nachri, of a nachri handling kosher, you know, kosher wine. Even though it's cooked then, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it won't make it mutter. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman over here, in Mincha Shlomo, Chel Kav, Simuchav, Hey, Ma she'en came bepister shel zmanenu. That's pasteurization. Hashem uvach ha'tam lo mishtana beglal zesh, shesogar ve'en idui. They do this in a contain, you know, a sealed container. Gam oisim oitach bulois bechachmo yeshum shina b'tamaya, and they know how to do this. Not their first rodeo. Make the wine not lose its flavor. V'shamati mimumche shahamoin ha'am. Standard people ain't oyocho klal lahargish ulahavchin shum hevdel bein mafusta leloy mafusta. They can't tell the difference. I have a brother-in-law who for one of his simchas bought, I don't know, a very expensive bottle of wine. 200 or something, a bottle of wine. And he was going around, so proud of it. He was going around giving people l'chaim, you know, from the fancy wine. So, but little did he know, everyone was, oh, it's so nice, it's so delicious, so this, so that. His brother, not me, his brother had switched the wine. He took that wine out and put cheap wine in the bottle. And then walking around, oh, it's so delicious, it's so this, so that. Little did they know, it was the cheap wine the whole time. And none of them knew the difference. So you see over here, they think, they see a bottle, ooh, oh, fancy. They had no difference, they didn't know. So Salto over here says, "Shom Zamun, we don't know." And came nine lano the haka gamba zelo izami magen nachri. Oh, so says Shom Zamun. Now we have a problem. Even if the nachri handles it, we would bring it agabi. The only reason it's excluded from agabi mizbech is because it's the flavor has been altered. If the flavor has been altered at all, you could use it on top of the mizbech. The nachri would use it on top of the mizbech, and now we have a problem magen nachri. And they quote like this from Rebbe Yashiv as well, that he concurred with Shom Zamun on this point. That nowadays the cooking won't help for. It comes with a kula. Friday night, then you don't have to run after wine, which is not mavusho, in order to satisfy the opinion of the Rambam, because our wine tastes the same mavusho and mavusho, but by the same token, there's a chumra that won't help for magen achri. Roiv ha'paiskim disagree, needless to say, with this psak of Shom Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv. They feel that nothing has changed. Wine, which is cooked or pasteurized, once it reaches 175 degrees and pasteurized, and Yatsa Letizba, Rav Moshe's opinion was, that's considered to be yayin mavusho. And therefore, there's no problem with Magen Nachri. The Nachri handles it, you're okay, just like it says in Shulchan Aruch. The flavor's been altered. We wouldn't use it al Gabi Mizbeach. And I think, by the way, most people, that the reality bears that out. Most people who are wine connoisseurs prefer wine, which is not Mavusho. So obviously, there's something in the flavor which is changed. Would it be good al Gabi Mizbeach? Magen Nachri, if the Nachri handles it after it's Mavusho, would be okay. But by the same token, Friday night, then one should preferably attempt to have, assuming that, you know, the quality of the wine is all the same, wine which is not mavusho, perhaps, according to some, to be pleasurish for the opinion of the Rambam. Needless to say, though, many, many are mago. So let's get back to the grape juice. All grape juice is pasteurized. That's what stunts its growth and prevents it from becoming wine. So all grape juice is pasteurized. There is some grape juice now, which is pasteurized, so it should be considered yain mavusho. There is some grape juice, kedem, in the 1.5 liter glass bottles. The old, probably before your time, when all kedem wine, grape juice came in those, like wide at the bottom, narrow at the top. In the glass. No, but they have 1 liter glass bottles. This is the bigger one. When I was growing up, all kedem grape juice came in those bottles. With no plastic bottles, didn't exist. So it came in those glass bottles. Now that is not mavusho. It says on it, not mavusho. So it is mavusho. It is pasteurized. It has to be, otherwise it'll become wine, but or vinegar. But it is pasteurized at a lower temperature. There's two forms of pasteurization, higher temperature, lower temperature. That is pasteurized at a lower temperature, which according to Rav Moshe, it would not be yayin mavusho. So you have to be careful with the nachmi touching it. But you would satisfy, perhaps, you know, those who require wine which is not mavusho for Kiddush Friday night. Or you want to be chayshish for those who think that yain mavusho shakoni ebedvaro. This would not have that problem. It's pasteurized at a lower temperature. But again, if it's not as good of a wine, you know, grape juice, no matter how what bottle it comes in, it's not as good as wine, which is, you know, a superior wine. So then you shouldn't be chayshish for the Rambam at the expense of using an inferior one. Okay, fine. So Friday night Kiddush, are those who are chayshish for the Rambam, or those who perhaps think more wine, which is mavusho shakoni ebedvaro. We said the minig ha'olam is to be meiko on this, though. All grape juice, unless you're going to buy in the kedem bottle, is yayin mavusho. So okay, so we said, you're not going to be yoytze for the Rambam, or Rashi and the Rash, who think it's shakoni ebedvaro, but at least according to Rabbi Paisim, you won't have a problem. However, there's another problem. So okay, there's no worse than all other yayin mavusho. However, there's a second problem with the grape juice. And that is, why is it that one, let's start slowly. Another problem with the grape juice is it's not alcoholic. Why did wine get a unique bracha, bori pri hagafen? The Gemara told us, because it's soed u'misameach. Because it satiates, it provides nutrition, and misameach. It has the alcoholic content. That's why it got its own bracha. Yain migito, grape juice, you know, freshly squeezed grape juice, the Gemara said, you can use seichet adam eshkol shalanav and remember of kiddush hayoyim. How can you say kiddush? There's no alcoholic content. The only reason bracha, you know, grape juice got bari pri hagafen It's because the alcohol content. No alcohol content in freshly squeezed grape juice. So what would you say? What must we say? Yeah, but it can develop alcohol content. So look over here, the Rashbam. Mesechus Baba Basra explains over here, Oiskes, why does grape juice, freshly squeezed grape juice, get the bracha bari priya gofen? Because soifa mia liya shechar. It will become not beer in this context. This means alcoholic. It will become alcoholic if you leave it for it to ferment. It'll become alcoholic. That's why it gets bari priya gofen. Yeah, but it's not alcoholic yet. So therefore, when this halacha appears in the Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch says like this. Look back, Oizvav. Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Ayin Reish Bey, Sif Aleph, Yayin Migita Mikachin Olav. You can use young wine, which hasn't yet fermented, says the Mishnah Berurah, though, in the name of the Magen Avraham, Mikol Makoy Mitzvah Min HaMuvchor B'Yayin Yoshon. It's best to use wine, which has alcoholic content, at least for Kiddush. It does get Bari Priya Gofen, because Lamaisa will become alcoholic. You know, freshly squeezed grape juice. But better to use for Kiddush wine, which is a mitzvah min hamukhar, which is with wine that is already fermented. This became a big deal in the 1920s when the 18th Amendment was passed, prohibiting alcohol to be sold in the United States, which lasted, I think, until 1933, period of the Prohibition. And it was further defined by the Volstead Act a year later, 1920, I think, that outlined all the alcoholic beverages which were prohibited for sale, including wine. However, there was, because of the religious lobby, obviously, there was, and this was motivated by religious people, you know, that wanted their religious values memorialized in legislation. So they lobbied for this, but there was an exclusion for sacramental purposes, for religious activities. There was an exclusion for wine. So what about Yiddishkeit? Do we need wine for sacramental purposes, for religious activities? So many argued at the time, we do! Ah, Yayin Migito! You can use freshly squeezed grapes. Yeah, but the Rabbi Mogen Avram says it's still a mitzvah min ha-muvchar to use wine that already has developed, has fermented, as alcoholic. That's why it got Bari Priya Gofen in the first place. You should mitzvah min ha-muvchar. So they quoted the Magen Avraham. No, Yiddishkeit we need. We need the wine because of the alcoholic content. The Rav Magen Avraham says, mitzvah min ha-muvchar. This was literally quoted. With this Magen Avraham became a big deal because mitzvah min ha-muvchar to use stuff that already has alcoholic content. However, there was a professor in the time in JTS named Professor Louis Ginsberg who wrote a responsa about this, which he publicized, that because of this exclusion, the carve-out for religious purposes, there were Jews who were trafficking, or he was alleging that there were Jews who were trafficking in alcohol, illegally, because of the carve-out for sacramental purposes, religious activities, so you could take it and then you see, you know, sell it somewhere else, which was, he was argued, was creating a Chil HaShem. So Chil HaShem, he said, outweigh this Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, ideally, you should have alcoholic content. Yeah, but we have to be afraid for the Chil HaShem. So at that time, there were those who argued, no, there's a different problem with the grape juice. Forget about the mitzvah min ha-muvchar. It's no good for Kiddush. The grape juice was available to the consumer that was mass-produced. Why? Because not only was it failing to achieve the Magen Avraham's mitzvah min ha-muvchar to use stuff that already has fermented, but because contemporary, the consumer, the grape juice available to the consumer is not freshly squeezed grapes, it's already been cooked, pasteurized. But we got through that. Yain Mavusha, we already said, we paskin bari priya gofen. Yeah, but that's because that already is alcoholic. What if it will never, why is grape juice bari priya gofen? Because it will, we saw the Rashbam said, soy for me, Aliyah Shechar. It will become alcoholic if you leave it to ferment. This will never become alcoholic. However long you leave it, the grape juice will not ferment. It's stunted. Its growth is stunted by pasteurization. So at the time, there was a Rav in Hartford, named Yitzchak Simcha Horowitz, who wrote in his Sefer Yad HaLevi, in his commentary in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the only time grape juice, not only is it not a mitzvah min ha-muvchar to use grape juice, according to the Magen Avraham, you should pick something that has alcohol, it's already fermented, but the only time grape juice, Bari Priya Gofen, is if it will ferment. This will never ferment. And since it will never ferment, it forfeits its bracha, bari pi hagafen, and becomes shahakol niyeh b'dvaro. No different than orange juice or grapefruit juice. It's now grape juice. The only thing that's special about grape juice is going to ferment. This will never ferment. And therefore, it forfeits its bracha, bari pi hagafen. At the time, later on, Reb Henkin, I think later on in the 50s, so writes in his letters as well, he was chayshesh for this argument. He also was sympathetic to this, that since it will never become fermented, it will forfeit its status of bari pi hagafen. The only reason it got bari pi hagafen in the first place is because it was soda misameach. This will never ferment, and they have never become alcohol, and therefore it loses its status of bari pi hagafen. There were other great goyim who were chayshesh for this. I'm quoting the name of Reb Chaim like that. There were those who were chayshish that grape juice should lose its status of bari pi hagafen, not because of yain mavushal. Yain mavushal, we already got it. There were those who said yain mavushal is also shakol niyeh b'dvaro. This is shakol niyeh b'dvaro because the only reason grape juice is different is because it will ferment. This is never going to ferment. So it loses its status and should become shakol niyeh b'dvaro. And they argued it tastes worse than wine. It doesn't even taste the same as wine. Grape juice doesn't taste like wine that has no alcohol. It's like an entirely different flavor. So it's Ishtani Ligriusa, and therefore it should be Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. So this Rav, Yitzchak Simcha Horowitz, when he published this, and he sent it to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And Rav Tzvi Pesach was a Rav in Yerushalayim at the time. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, well, he agrees we need to have a carve-out, you know, for religious purposes and sacramental activities. We have to have wine. After all, the Magen Avraham said, it's preferable to use something that already has fermented and has alcohol over even Yain Megito, which you can't use. Better to have alcohol now. Nonetheless, he says, Hifriz al Amida, you went too far over here in arguing that grape juice is Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro. He says, it's too far. He says, just like Yain Mavushal is Bari Pri Hagafen, grape juice, which is Mavushal, is also Bari Pri Hagafen. And similarly, Dain Weiss, who was the Pesach for the Eidah Haredis, Badat in Eretz Yisrael, he also writes in his Shuvah Minchas Yitzchak, this is too much. No. Grape juice is Bari Pri Hagafen, even though it'll never become alcohol. Why? Just like Yain Mavushal is Bari Pri Hagafen. This is also no different than Yain Mavushal. Grape juice is pasteurized, but it should be no different than Yain Mavushal. Should have the bracha bari pi hagafen. What's their argument? So perhaps their argument is something along the lines of, look, you have over here grape juice. Grape juice is bari pi hagafen. Why? Because of the possibility it could ferment. So once we label a certain category of foods with a certain bracha, because it could ferment, so then that entire category gets that bracha, even if we'll devise, we'll concoct a situation where that, you know, reason might not necessarily exist, Chazal labeled juice derived from grapes as bari pi hagafen. Because of the, you know, ultimately will ferment, but even if you concoct a situation, will not ferment, it retains its bracha. It doesn't forfeit the bracha, it retains the same bracha. Otherwise, you could have one grape juice as bari pi hagafen, another grape juice that's Shakol Niyeh B'dvaro, sitting right next to each other, the little can taste the same. So that's inconceivable. Must be that Chazal, once they, you know, issued a bracha for a certain product, even if you devise a way, you mutate the product as such, you know, that it's, that, you know, that reason won't apply, it still retains its bracha. That's a svara that Nissen Kaplan suggests in the Sefer Shalmei Nisan on Masechtas Brachos. Maybe that's what these Achronim were driving at. There was another argument. Rabbi Henkin writes in his later letters that Feivish Herzog told him that if you leave the grape juice open, it will ferment also, come on, and become wine. But you talk to others who dispute that you can leave the grape juice forever. It will turn into vinegar or might sour, but it won't turn into wine unless you add something else, like yeast or sugar or something. If you just leave it as it is, it won't turn into wine. So that seems to be somewhat disputed, but it's generally, there are those who claim it will become wine, but it's generally assumed that grape juice, no matter how long you leave it or whatever temperature, will never become wine. So why should it retain its bracha? It must be Chazal labeled, even though it can't become wine, and that was the reason we gave it the bracha in the first place. Chazal, once they establish a bracha for a specific category of foods, the entire category retains its bracha, even if you'll devise a situation where that reason won't apply. However, Shlomo Zalman suggested a different answer. Why grape juice should retain its bari pi hagafen. Even though it's stunted, it will never become alcoholic. The only reason it got the bracha in the first place is because it's alcoholic. The only reason grape juice is bar pi hagafen, the Rashbam told us, because it will become alcoholic. This grape juice will never become alcoholic. How could it be bar pi hagafen? Shlomo Zalman says the following svara. He says, because when you first squeeze the grapes, what was the bracha? You first squeeze the grapes. What was the bracha? Bar pi hagafen. Why? It could become alcoholic. What do you do afterwards? You cook it. You pasteurize it. Now it's no longer. You neutered it. It's no longer to become alcoholic. But what was its bracha before you pasteurized it for that brief period of time? Bar pi hagafen. Says of Shlomo Zalman, an item, once it achieves the bracha, not because it's part of a larger class. No, it's because this item itself was bar pi hagafen. Then you cooked it, it doesn't lose its bar pi hagafen. It sticks with it once it achieved that status, even if later, and it was fit to ferment at one point in time, even though now it's not, it doesn't forfeit its bracha. Because of the timeline of this thing, at least it was at one point fit to become fermented in wine. So then it doesn't forfeit its status just because you pasteurize it. Because that's the svara, says of Shlomo Zalman. Look, let's read it inside. It says over here, Simen Dami, Komakom, Enida Didan, Nira De'ev, Shoshko, Inyan, Bracha, V'chein, Nisachim, Time of the Yad, Nigito, Kasha, B'di'eved, Hurak, V'mdeshu, Roy, Liyo, Shecha, Shemisameh, Chumashaka. Really, as the Rashbam told us, the only reason wine is Bar Pi Hagafen is because it has the alcoholic content, and therefore grape juice also is only because it could become alcohol. Kumosha Kazuma Rashbam. Viavagav Shahasim Hurakli Nisakam Nisi. Okay. Shagamin and Bracha, Yitaka Shirakli Shiroi Li Yoshecha. Vachay Nira, Da'av Shemitza Novim Mavusha Mafusta after the Shulo Chazi, even though after it's been cooked or pasteurized, it's no longer fit. Litsois, Liyos Mamish Yain. Mikol Makoim, even though now it can't become wine, came into Miyan Kishenischot, Kvar Chalalov Shem Yain. Once it was cooked, it became wine. Leaning Kiddushu Bracha. Vigam Koshim B'Diyevet Afilu Nesachim. At that point, when you first squeezed it in the Kadam factory, it was kosher for what was going to be, you know, Nesachim was going to become wine. Vachin Shabir Nishar Bebirkas Hagefen Shahayal of Koidem. It retains its Bracha, Kevin Shigam Ashav Hutayvushia. Okay? Since it's still good, it doesn't lose its bracha, even though now it's been neutered and pasteurized. Oh, that's what he says of Shlomo Zalman, because that's the svara why grape juice is bar pi hagafen, because in the timeline of this item, it once had this status. What if the item changes drastically? For example, it's made into a concentrate. You extract, you boil out all the water, and then you reconstitute it. So now it's a new item. That's not the same old item. The timeline's been broken. Says of Shlomo Zalman, now the grape juice that's made from concentrate will be Sha'akon Yevidvarai. Won't be very pre-agafen. And even if he claims, well, the Ikar here, you know, Brachas, it goes based on Ikar and Tafel. Even if the Ikar here is the concentrate and the water that you reconstituted with is a Tafel, maybe you can eke out a very pre-agafen. It's certainly not kosher for Kiddush. Not wine. 4/5 of it is water. When they make grape juice from concentrate, they have 4 times as much water. So Shlomo Zalman claims, come on, that's water. The water doesn't acquire the status of wine, of grape juice. The only reason the grape juice was a, you know, we had to give a whole Dvar Torah. Why that's Bar Pi Hagafen, because it once was wine, and now, even though it's not, it doesn't forfeit its bracha, but the timeline's been broken. Oh, all bets are off. All bets are off. So this psak of Shlomo Zalman, that grape juice from concentrate, was highly controversial. The minhag always was to make bar pi hagafen on grape juice, and even grape juice from concentrate. That was the opinion of Rav Moshe. And there were many who disagreed with this psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And they said, well, what are you talking about? Wine is always diluted. The Gemara says their wine, the Gemara says in Maseches Babas over there, their wine was undrinkable as it was. In order to become consumable, it had to be yayin mozek. It had to be diluted 3 to 1. So, you see, wine was always diluted. And moreover, Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Gedalia Felder, that's in his true, Sefer Yisoid Yeshurin, Rabbi Belsky, of course, the Paisik Hashim and Tarvadas, Paisik of the OU. So, they argue, what we quote Gemaras, that we find congealed wine, which was dehydrated and then reconstituted. Discussed in the Gemara. And these things are bar pi hagafen. And we know all wine was diluted. And the water acquired the status of Bari Pri HaGafen, the wine, the water that was added to the wine. So why should this grape juice from concentrate be any different? So Shlomo Zalman had two arguments. The first is, no, because this really isn't even wine. This is only wine because of a back door, because it was wine. Now it's still, you know, so now you want to retain its status. That's only because of its historical connection. Once the historical timeline is broken, you can't reclaim that status. As opposed to wine, that is was wine before, and even if it's dehydrated and later reconstituted, it's still wine. So by its own merits. That's why it gets a Bari Pri HaGafen. And even though you're adding water to it, there was always a halacha, an assumption that if you add water to wine, it acquires the status of wine. Here by the grape juice, he says, we have no such assumption that if you add water to grape juice, it acquires the status of grape juice. Rabelski and Felder and others argue, no, what are we talking about? If wine, you know, Basher Husham, you can add water to and acquire the status of wine. Why should grape juice be any different? And perhaps grape juice, the bracha, is not only because of its historical connection to that one point in its history when it was able to ferment, it's because all grape juice extracted from grapes is always Bari Pri HaGafen. So before it was constituted, it was Bari Pri HaGafen, and after the concentrate is rehydrated, and reconstituted should also be Bari Pri HaGafen. So many who disagreed with Rav Shlomo Zalman, but that was the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and that's why many, some are choishish for this, and prefer not to use for Kiddush or Da'ud Kaisis grape juice, even those who will be makel to use grape juice, not to use grape juice from concentrate. Just one last, it could be it's related to a bigger issue. When you have things that are dehydrated and concentrated and then later reconstituted, how should we view them? Which is a topic for Kol Torah Kula. For example, and one is not supposed to have milk that's produced by non-Jews. What if you dehydrate it and make it into milk powder and then rehydrate it? Milk that was produced by non-Jews, you know, chalav stam, and then chalav akum, and then you rehydrate it, milk powder. So Tzvi Pesach Frank argues in the Har Tzvi that no, once it was dehydrated and made into a powder, Chazal never asked milk powder. They asked stam chalav, you know, chalav akum. This is not included in the Gzer of Chazal and it's permitted. And Chazon Ish and many others disagreed whether it's Pesach. That's one of the coolest those who have. Even if you're makban in Chalav Akum, you're not you're makban in Chalav Yisrael, not to rely on Moshe's Kula, you know, to rely on the governmental jurisdiction and authority, you'd be machmir for Chalav Yisrael. But if it's powder milk, there's another reason to be maker. However, most Achrayim rejected that. The Chazon Ish, many others held, once it's reconstituted, the Gzera comes back. You're right. When it's in a powdered form, maybe that's not what Chazal prohibited, but once you reconstitute it or you put it into another item and it gives a milky flavor, that's exactly what Chazal, you know, it's rehydrated. It's Chazali Suro. So it's over here. You have the grape, this might relate to that issue as well. You have grape juice, which is concentrated. Shlomo Zalman held, once it's in the concentrate, it loses its status of Bari Pri HaGafen and now it becomes a whole new item and you can't add water to, you know, this item and assume it will become back to grape juice. And others argue, no, you're just returning it to the status it was. You dehydrated it, you're rehydrating it. And therefore, it should reclaim its status as Bari Pri HaGafen, and that's how many assumed. But there are those who are chayshish for this, not to use grape juice from concentrate. Yeah.
So ketem grape juice
is not from concentrate.
So it says on the bottle, it says the first ingredient is grape juice, and the second ingredient is grape juice concentrate.
Maybe they sweeten it with grape juice concentrate, but okay. They don't. It's not concentrate. It's not made from a concentrate.
Okay.
There are other brands, which we're not going to mention, that are made from a concentrate.
So
Welch's is even more complicated because Welch's was owned by a non-Jewish company. So non-Jews, you have another problem of Stam Yenom. That's why Welch's was really complicated. It was made from concentrate and was owned by non-Jews. But even to use, there are many other companies now that make concentrated grape juice from concentrate. So that's, according to Shlomo Zalman, would be Shahakol. But according to many others, would be Bari Pri HaGafen. So that's just...
What if, like in theory, you made it from concentrate and then you put in a little bit of regular grape juice? Like, what would be the status?
I don't know. It's complicated. But if you had regular grape juice and then you're mixing from concentrate, I don't think it should lose its status of Bari Pri HaGafen. But what if you had a concentrate and you mix in grape juice? I don't know. It depends. It's probably like water mixing in grape juice. According to Shlomo Zalman, according to those who are makel, Rav Elam is makel to use grape juice. It's complicated. Mixtures always become color mixed. It's not going to be the same halacha here. No, okay. No. That's a whole different area of halacha. Okay, so let's just recap over here for Kiddush. We said, of course, ideally would be to use Friday night the best wine. And if all things being equal, the best wine is Einu Mavusho, then you should be Cheshish for the opinion of the Rambam, use Einu Mavusho. Roi Vailam is Mekel, to assume that even Mavusho is Boi Pri Agafen, and you can use Mavusho, you can use Mavusho for Kiddush Friday night. You should use, though, the best possible wine that you have. If, let's say, you don't enjoy the best possible wine, or you will prefer to use grape juice, so grape juice is okay too, Yayin Mavusho, we would use. There are those who chayshish, grape juice is always shakol niyabed varo. So therefore, you can use grape juice, but again, even if you're going to use grape juice, always better, the Magen Avraham told us, to use something with alcoholic content. So best is wine, which is Einu Mavusho. After that, chayshish for the Rambam, after that is at least wine that has alcoholic content. The Magen Avraham says, a mitzvah min ha-mufchar. And if you can't use that, so then grape juice, we would generally assume grape juice is Bari Pri HaGofen, not like Rabbi Henkin and Yad HaLevi. That's too much. It's a grape, you know, product. Should be Bari Pri HaGofen, even though this can never become fermented. It should still be Bari Pri HaGofen, but at least try and use something that's not from concentrate, but Roi Vailam Minigar, Oilam is to be Mako, even grape juice from concentrate. One thing we didn't get to, the Gemara says also, white wine is not kosher al gabi mizbeach. So most Rishonim assume white wine, you know, even though it's not kosher gabi mizbech, that's kosher for Kiddush for sure. The Ramban in Maseches Bava Basra assumes white wine is not kosher gabi mizbech, therefore it's not good for Kiddush either, even b'di'evin. That's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. So that's why there are those who are chayshish Friday night, if you want to be from the Mahadrin, yeah, you want to get wine which is Einu Mavusho, it might be preferable, at least for Kiddush Friday night, the Be'er Halacha recommends that maybe if your wine is going to be Einu Mavusho, you should get a red wine. According to the Ramban, white wine was inferior, and therefore white wine, according to the Ramban, was no good for Kiddush at all. So to be Cheshish for the Ramban, maybe that's something additional to think about for Friday night. But let's just conclude with the discussion regarding Dawud Kaisis. What about with regards to Dawud Kaisis? So all of these issues, of course, come into play, because the first of the Dawud Kaisis is Kiddush. But what about the rest of the Dawud Kaisis? So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim over here, Kuf Chesim Abeis, that if you drink the Dawud Kaisis before it's diluted, you drink wine before it's diluted, Shasa and Chai Yotza. Yotze what? What are you Yotze? Amar Ravi, Yedei Yain Yotze, Yedei Cheirus Lo Yotza. You fulfill the obligation of wine, you have not fulfilled the obligation of Cheirus. What does that mean? Fulfill the obligation of wine, not the obligation of freedom. So the Rashbam explains, you fulfilled Dawud Kaisis with wine before it's been diluted. You know, it was in a very concentrated form, their wine. Before it's been diluted, you fulfilled Dawud Kaisis, but not in its ideal form, because you don't really feel the freedom. The Rambam, he clarifies this a little bit further, really disagrees with the Rashbam. The Rambam's opinion is, famously, that there's two requirements of Dawud Kaisis, or really two parts to Dawud Kaisis. The Rambam over here writes in Perek Zayin Hilchos Chametz Sumata Lochetes in the middle of the second line. Shosa arba kaisis elu miyayin sheino mozuk. Let's say you drank it before it has been diluted. Yotze yedei arba kaisis lo yotze yedei cheiros. According to the Rambam, the Brisker Rav explains in his comments in the Rambam, one obligation of Dawud Kaisis is to recite certain parts of the Haggadah in connection with a cup of wine. A cup of wine always attributes greater significance. That's why we say Kiddush over a cup of wine. It attributes greater significance to the beginning of the Shabbos meal. So two different parts of the Haggadah require that they be said in conjunction with a cup of wine to attribute greater significance. Benching, Hallel, Magid should be said over with a cup of wine in order to attribute greater significance to them. So that's one halacha. So if you use wine which hasn't been diluted, you fulfill that halacha of reciting, you know, that part of the Haggadah in conjunction with a cup of wine. But then according to the Rambam, and that's similar to Kiddush, you know. Then there's a second halacha of Dawud Kaisis according to the Rambam, perhaps derived from, you know, the Arba Lashonos of Geula, that a person is supposed to feel free, you know, liberated by drinking this cup of wine. After you became liberated, you go out for a drink, a free man, and he's drinking away to feel the freedom. Maybe your inhibitions, whatever, however you interpret it. But Yidei Cheirus Lo Yotza. So if you drunk them when it's not diluted, so that's not freedom. Yeah, it's not the taste of freedom. It's probably too sweet. It's probably too, you know, it was not palatable. They usually had to drink it when it was diluted. That's when it tasted best. So that's Cheirus. Cheirus is to drink good wine, not the over-concentrated one. So therefore, the Rambam has these two components to Dawud Kaisis. Based on this comment of the Rambam, Rav Moshe suggests, and based on the Gemara, this is quoted in the Haggadah Kol Dodi by Rav Dovid Feinstein, Rav Moshe was of the opinion that grape juice is no good for the Dawud Kaisis. Why? because you don't feel the chayrus. Chayrus is comes about as a result of the alcoholic content of the Dawud Kaisis. And here you have no alcoholic content to it. And therefore, there were many, the Brisker Rav actually assumes that the Rambam would disagree with this Ramah. The Ramah writes over here, Oisi Dawud, Simon Tov Pei Gimel, Sif Aleph, in Hilchos Pesach, Uli Nira, the Uli Nira, Dawud Kaisis, Yisgus Mokhaman, Dabin, the Mekajan, Al Shah, Mashkim, Uchaman, Redina. You could use milk. Or beer. No, you can't use beer on Pesach, right? You could use milk or some other Chamar Medina for Dawud Kaisis. So Brisker Rav argued, no, that's, if it's just to give it significance, so we throw a cup at it, like Havdalah, so a cup of Chamar Medina gives it significance. Also, that's a drink of the land. Yeah, oh, drink of the land. But for Dawud Kaisis, an eating of Kairos, that means it has to have alcohol content to it, it has to be some sense of freedom. Perhaps it has to be specifically wine. Perhaps the Rambam would disagree with this Rambam. Perhaps it has to be specifically one. Ramay Shad Araya. How do you know? Because the Talmud Yushalmi says over here, Ois Tezvav, that Rav Yoina, one of the Tanoim, drank Arba Kaisis, Valeh Laseder, and he was sick. He had a headache all the way till Shavuos. Why do you drink wine then? I have a better answer for him. Drink what? Grape juice. Yain Migito. Squeeze grapes before Pesach and use them. So much it must be because you have to use wine. So the truth of the matter is that raya is not a great raya. Why? I think Herzog, Feivish Herzog noted. Because they didn't have, when were grapes harvested? Sukkos. Pesach, they didn't have fresh grapes. So by Pesach time, all the grapes from Sukkos either were wine, you made them into wine, or they rotted and they became vinegar. There just weren't fresh grapes around. So that's why he didn't have Yain Megitah. It's a great answer. But anyway, Ramesha derives from here that you have to use one, Yain Megito, or any form of grape juice, even if it's not pasteurized and all the issues we brought up before. Any grape juice is not good for the alcoholics. It has to be the taste, you know, the flavor of freedom has to be alcoholic in nature. In fact, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank concurs, and he brings, the Gemara says in Masechet Tainis, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that may ikar adin, we don't pask in this way, the meaning is not to do this, you can have Yain Megito or grape juice during the 9 days before Tisha B'Av, because there's no alcohol. So you see that there's a difference between Yain Megito and wine. Wine, grape juice, you have it during the 9 days. There's no simcha in the grape juice. So you can have it even during the 9 days. We don't do it. We don't do that. Mikra din, though, the Gemara says it's allowed. So too over here, says Ramesha, says the Tzvi Pesach Frank, this is not Misameach. There's no chayrus here. So therefore, it would not be good for Dawud Kaisis. So many others, of course, disagree. They call the name of Chazanish and Kanievsky and Shabina Rav, the David Meshar, and many others use grape juice for the Dawud Kaisis, particularly people who find it difficult to drink wine. And in fact, that might be the greatest fulfillment of Chayrus. Chayrus is to do what I want, what I, you know, tastes good to me. As the Rambam, we'll go back to the Rambam over here, Oisir Beis, the Rambam says, Arba Kaisis, Ayu Tarach Limzog, Oisan Kadesh, Yesh, Shisiya Areva. It should taste good to you. Hakol Ufi Hayayin, Ufi Dash Asoise. Everything depends on the wine and depends on the drinker. So maybe there's no greater expression than chayrus than drinking grape juice. And many, many, many are makol to drink grape juice. But there are those who are chayshish for the Ramesha, that chayrus is only accomplished by with the alcohol content, and therefore there are those who use alcohol, you know, specifically wine. I don't think that there's any reason to assume that it has to have a minimum shear of alcohol. And, you know, there's a problem with the kedem kal, which has a minimal alcohol. I don't know. I don't think there's a halacha l'moshe miSinai of how much alcohol content it has to have, and I don't think we can look back to, you know, well, what was their wine, and it was diluted with this much water, so it must mean. We don't know anything about their wines. Their wines are completely different than our wines. I don't know how we could derive anything from that. It's totally speculative. So, in my opinion, there's no halacha l'moshe miSinai about the percentage of alcohol it should have. So, it's a nice thing if you can handle it, at the Dawud Kaisis to use something that has some alcohol content for those over 21, yeah.